Wow, okay. Well, if you've never been to Dickey Lake, it's a beautiful lake. It's you know, he said it was small. Where we come from, Holly and I grew up in Southern California. We don't have a lot of lakes, especially like they call little mud puddles lakes in Southern California. So when he said it's a small lake, I was like, well, you know, really, when you think of Lake Coconusa and Lake Windermere and all these other big, huge lakes, it is kind of a small lake. But it's actually a beautiful, crystal clear, glacially fed lake. The camp has been there since 1946. So we are heading towards our 71st camping season, and we couldn't be more excited. We are an Alliance-owned camp. Dickey Lake Bible Camp was founded by several pastors, families, missionaries from local communities, and they founded this place in 1946 as a place where kids could go and have a great experience in the beautiful wilderness that God has created and learn to come to have a more close relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that is still our focus. Our focus is still, we want to have fun. We love taking the kids out and do boating, and we have fun with volleyball and horseshoes and carpet ball and all these cool things that camp has to offer. But our primary focus is still to introduce kids and adults alike now to have a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, not just while they're at camp, but once they leave camp and in between Sundays, every day live that relationship out with Jesus Christ. Last year we served, I think it was 360 Christian campers. That would be men, women, children. We have men's retreats. We have ladies' retreats. This year we're going to have a love and respect marriage retreat that we're also going to be hosting this year for a weekend. So if you've never done that, that's something I want to encourage you to sign up for. This year we're also doing a non-denominational pastor's retreat. So for those of you who work in the ministry and want to have a place to retreat, we invite you to bring your spouses. We're going to have one little corner taped off in the dining room that's going to be for theological debates. Outside of that area, no theological debates will be allowed. I just want to say we had over 26 baptisms. I think we had 26 baptisms, last year. And baptisms at Dickey Lake are beautiful. They're absolutely amazing. You know, we're there in the United States, and we can see your mountains, you know, looking north in the background behind these things, and it's just absolutely stunning. This year, we are doing a lot of projects. We have work week coming up. We have work weekends, which are Friday and Saturday nights. So if you guys are looking for a fun getaway in the States for a weekend, I would encourage you to bring some tools. Actually, don't bring tools. I just found out. We've got some Canadians that come down from Cranbrook, and the last time they came down, they got questioned pretty hard about what they were doing down there. So don't bring tools. We'll supply tools. Just come down and tell them that you're coming down for a beautiful weekend at Dickey Lake Bible Camp. Don't tell them you're coming to Dickey Lake Bible Camp. Just tell them you're coming down for a nice weekend. They think we're going to put you to work. So just tell them you're coming down for a nice weekend. So that's 19th and the 20th, and then also the 26th and 27th, which I know happens to be Memorial Day weekend. But if you're looking for a fun place to go spend a weekend, we will we'll provide you food, we'll provide you housing, and a shovel. So that's a little bit about Dickey Lake Bible Camp. If you have any more questions, we've got this display out there. I will say that we're doing a bonus this year for early registration. If you get your kids registered for camp by May 15th, we're going to give you $20 off registration per kid and a free t-shirt. So you really can't beat that. So if you're going to send your kids down to camp, go ahead and get them registered. Even if you can't afford to pay right now, you can pay later. It's only $155 for early registration, $175 after that. But I also want to say that Dickey Lake Bible Camp has a really solid history of, we will not turn away a kid from camp for financial reasons. We have many scholarship sources. We encourage the churches to host scholarship fundraising events and that kind of stuff. So if you can't afford the price of camp, just get your kids down there. We want to introduce them to Christ. That's the most important thing for us. So if you have any more questions, you can go to the website. I've got some registration brochures out there for you guys so you can take care of that. You can also register online. You can apply for scholarships online. Men and women who want to come down for our retreats, feel free to, you can apply or make your reservation online for that too. So, you know, we were driving down, it's a little under a 3-hour drive as we were talking about to get down here. And I, you know, I used to travel for work all the time. I traveled internationally across the country, and travel gets really old when you don't get to take your family with you. You know, I'm a family guy. That's all I've ever wanted to be, was a family guy. And So when we had this opportunity to come up here and serve at this ministry, you know, one of the great things they told us was take your family with you when you go to visit churches, when you go to visit places. And so I get to bring my beautiful wife Holly and our kids Wyatt and Kayla when we come and do that. And it gives us a lot of time together, you know, 3 hours in a car, and then we'll have 3 hours in the car on the way home, and we get a chance to talk about a lot of stuff. And we were talking about this lesson. We were just talking about it because it's kind of funny. They were doing an Adam and Eve lesson in Sunday school a few weeks back for our kids. And my son Wyatt apparently was really, really taking to it, because they were talking about how Eve was created, you know, by taking a rib from Adam, and that's how they came forth. And so a few days later, we heard this moaning and groaning up in Wyatt's room. And we're like, man, that sounds like Wyatt. We better check and make sure he's okay. And so Holly goes up to check on him. She says, Wyatt, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, I think I'm about to give birth to a wife. So ministry can be very impactful for kids. So how many of you guys are fans of country music? Country Western music? Do any of you remember the song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers? I hated that song. And the reason I hated that song, I get what the singer was saying, I get what the songwriter was saying, but what they're saying is, thank God for unanswered prayers. God answers every single prayer. Every prayer. He answers the prayers we speak. He answers the prayers of our hearts. He answers the prayers of our actions. God loves us. He pays attention to everything we do and say. So when I hear, thank God for unanswered prayers, I just feel sorry for the people that are misguided enough to think that God is some genie up there waiting to grant our wishes. And if he doesn't grant our wishes exactly the way we want, well, he must not have been listening. That breaks my heart. Because 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Now, there's a key line to this. Whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. How many of you have ever prayed to win the lottery? How many of you have ever prayed for better looks or for a Lamborghini or for any of those things that will do you what you perceive to be a lot of good? How many people have won the lottery? How many people have been given a Lamborghini or better looks? I guess you could have paid for better looks. You know, God wants us to be doing things and asking for things that brings glory to him. And he'll give us what we ask for if it brings glory to him. You know, it's kind of cool. We were talking about my son, but before I get to that story, I want to tell you this story. We've got this couple named Kelly and Gail Mee that go to our church. Great people, wonderful people. Kelly's in his late 50s, and he was not feeling real well. And so he went to the doctor and was like, man, there's something not right with me. And so they looked at him, and he said, well, we think you just got a chest cold, kind of mixed with a flu type of thing. And so go home, and you'll start feeling better. And so they sent him home, and he gets home, and a few hours after he gets home that night, about midnight, he just gets up, and he's not feeling good at all. He's down on his knees, and he's just saying to his wife, I don't know what's going on. And they both come to our church. And so Gail stood over him, and she put her hand on the top of his head, and she said, Lord, we know that there's something more going on here. It's not just a chest cold. It's not just a flu. God, we come to you, and we ask you for your glory. Would you please just reveal what's going on with him right away? Would you please just right now, please let us know what's happening with him? And he grabbed his arm, and fell to the ground, and they took him to the hospital, and they found out he had a blockage in his artery. So he wasn't having a huge heart attack, but he was having a mild heart attack. Now, we live in Trigo, Montana. We are about an hour and a half to 2 hours away from the closest hospital. And Kelly is a mobile mechanic, which means he could be 45 minutes or an hour up in the mountains and be 3 or 4 hours away from a hospital. And God revealed what was going on with him right then and there, so they could get him to a hospital. They went and put a little stent in his artery. He says it was less painful than going to the dentist. And within 2 days, he was up and back and working again. That could have been much worse had God, God not answered that prayer. And we give God the glory for that because we still get to have Kelly and Gail with us in church every day. And it's awesome. I want to ask for this too. Read this. John 14, verses 13 through 14 says, "You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." God doesn't want us to be selfish. You know, Jesus talked about serving our fellow man all through his ministry. Not only serving our fellow man, but serving God. And so when we ask for things in prayer, we have to really be kind of careful about why we're asking for those things. Now, my son and my daughter have both said prayers, and they were innocent prayers of children. They were asking for something, but, well, I'll get to it in a second here. We moved to Garden Valley, Idaho from Boise. We were living up in the mountains, and my wife and I moved up there when my son was about four, and we had been seeing foxes. There was all kinds of wildlife there, elk and deer and foxes and bears, and we'd been seeing foxes, and we were excited every time we'd see one. And my son was like, "I want to see a fox. I haven't seen a fox yet. Dad, why can't I see a fox?" And so one night we were talking about it, and I said, "Well, when we go to bed, why don't you pray in God's name that you'll see a fox?" And so we go to bed, and my son, being a child that he is, says, "Dear God, I want to see a fox. And when I see it, I want to see it running, and then I want to see it stop and look at me, and then I want to see it turn and run away. In your name I pray, amen." Pretty specific prayer. This was at night as we were putting him to bed about 8 o'clock at night. So the next morning, it's like 7:15, driving him to his preschool, and we live in the mountains, so we're on a mountain road, and we look off to the right, and there's a fox running alongside the truck. So he gets up to this little clearing, and we pull up to the clearing, and we watch, and he runs up to the top of this hill, or to the, you know, the section of this hill, this little flat spot, and he stops, and he turns, and he looks at us. And he sits down, and we stare at each other for about 20 to 30 seconds, and then he gets up, and he turns, and runs back up over the hill. Pretty incredible. And I look at my son, and he's like, you know? And I'm like, isn't it amazing what happens when you pray to God in his name, what he'll do for you? It's absolutely incredible. This year, the camp was blessed with being able to build a big, huge director's house right there at the camp. So we get to live at the camp. I mean, it doesn't get much better than this, but it's got 20-foot vaulted ceilings in the living room. So I'm like, we're going to go get a huge Christmas tree this year because we moved in July. So we live in the mountains, so we're out looking around for trees. And while we're looking for the perfect Christmas tree, because we all have to have the perfect, it's not just the Christmas tree, it's the perfect Christmas tree, right? We wanted it to be tall, but also skinny, unlike me. And so while we're looking for this perfect, tall, skinny Christmas tree, my daughter says, I want a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. How many people remember the Charlie Brown Christmas special with the little tree that's all, you know, when you put one ornament on it? And she's like, "I want a Charlie Brown Christmas tree." And I said, "Well, you aren't getting a Charlie Brown Christmas tree this year. We're getting our big, huge tree." I said, "Maybe you pray to God and he'll get you a Charlie Brown Christmas tree." And I'm just being sarcastic and we're messing with each other. So that night is where I put the kids to bed. She says, "Dear God, I want a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And a few more things. In your name, I pray. Amen." Okay, well, we'll see what happens. About a week and a half later, my wife works at a Christian academy down in Whitefish, and they had their big Christmas party. And when they did their Christmas party, they had a white elephant gift exchange. Guess what we came home with from the white elephant gift exchange? A Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Now, that thing sat on that table, and we were so excited about it. And we were like, "My daughter prayed for this. I can't believe we ended up with this." And one lady came over, and she stared at it, and I looked at her. I said, "Are you really going to take away an answered prayer of my daughter?" And she went, "Whoa, nope, nope." Immediately backed off. It's absolutely amazing what happens when we pray in God's name. I'm going to tell you a couple more stories here because, you know, our kids go to a secular school. We work in ministry. We don't make a ton of money. So we just have to send the kids to the school, the best school that we can send them to. And And they struggle sometimes with the fact that there's not a lot of other Christian kids there. But you know what's amazing is my son shares the word of God when he's at school. He tells people that Jesus loves them, and sometimes he gets laughed at, sometimes he gets mocked. And one of the kids, one of the bigger kids, was like, "I don't believe in God. There's no God. I just believe in science." And you know what's amazing? When my kids start to doubt God, I can go right back to those stories. You prayed that God would give you, let you see a fox in exactly a specific way, and God let that happen. Kayla, you prayed for a Charlie Brown Christmas tree when I was bound and determined to get a 15-foot tall, skinny Christmas tree. But it still happened. God didn't do that because he just wanted to give them something. God did that because he wanted to instill in their hearts that he is there for them, and he is real. And it's amazing when things like that happen. It doesn't always work that way, because sometimes the perceived unanswered prayer is God saying, "No, I've got something better in mind for you," or "Not right now." I knew this lady, I know this lady, and when she was 29 years old, she had been in and out of a few relationships, was feeling very discouraged. She was a Christian, but she wasn't putting God first in her relationships. She wasn't seeking a godly man in her life, and she just kept getting hurt and hurt and hurt. And finally, one day, she said a prayer. She just said, "God, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep picking them. You know, I need to find a godly man in my life. I pray that you'll put a man in my life that loves you more than he loves me. And I know that when I find that man, and it's not somebody that I have handpicked, when it's somebody that you put in my life, I know that it will be the right person for me." About that time, there was a 35-year-old guy that I know who had always wanted to be married, always wanted to have kids, and had been in and out of relationships and tons of relationships, and he was very done. And he said a surrender prayer one day, and it was one of those prayers that takes everything out of your body. When you surrender to God in this way, you know it, because, man, the tears come. I mean, snot bubbles, everything. I mean, it's that kind of prayer where you are just releasing everything to God. And what he said was, "God, all I've ever wanted to do is be married and have kids, but if you have something better in mind for me, I want that. I am willing to give up on my hopes and my dreams so that I can have the kind of life that you want for me." That's a tough prayer to say, man. When you let go like that, and you're blubbering. I mean, it's you're letting go of everything. So about 2 weeks later, there was a 4th of July party on the coast in San Diego, and both of these people had been invited to the party, and they met at this July 4th party on July 4th, 2003. Now, those people weren't looking for each other. That guy didn't even want to go to that party. But they met, and they came home from their honeymoon on July 4th, 2004. And those people now are married, and they have two kids, and they get to work in a wonderful ministry. And this year, my wife and I will be celebrating. I'm a big teddy bear, sorry. 13 years of marriage this June. We lost a kid this year for camp. And I prayed before I came up here that I wouldn't do this. Those of you who have heard or seen online, Paxton Fisher was an 18-year-old kid who was the son of an associate pastor, had been involved with this camp ever since he could walk, went to a youth conference this past year, and decided he was going to answer to call to ministry. 18 years old, came home 2 months later. They thought he had a blockage in his esophagus. They thought it was going to be fixed by a simple surgery. When they went in to go do the CAT scan to see where this this blockage was, they found a cancerous tumor. And the cancer had already spread to his lymph nodes and his lungs. And so they did 3 rounds of chemotherapy, and the tumor kept getting bigger. They tried an experimental therapy, and it didn't do what we had hoped it would do. People all over the world came together and united in prayer for this kid. Pastors, people who had never prayed before, people who had maybe always prayed selfish prayers but went to God, finally for the first time in their lives, asking for something for somebody other than themselves. And we lost Paxton this last Monday. We're sad because Paxton's not with us. But we know that Paxton is walking hand in hand in heaven with our Father. When it comes to times like these, you go, why? Why didn't you give us what we want? He's an 18-year-old kid who was going to answer the call to ministry. Why wouldn't you just let him live? It's not our business to know. But what I do know is that thousands of people all over the world came before the Lord in prayer and prayed for somebody other than themselves. That's a miracle. That family's supported in ways I could never have imagined a family being supported. They are loved, and God's comfort, I know, was reaching out for that family. But sometimes we have to be prepared for God to say, no, I have something better in mind. And I'm telling you, I love that kid. This was not part of my plan. That I have faith in my God that he's got a better plan. Sometimes we say those foxhole prayers. You guys know those foxhole prayers? Or maybe we try reverse psychology in God. When I said those prayer of, God, I give it up to you, there were so many times where I was like, God, I give up the idea of being married and having kids to you. Wink, wink, with my fingers crossed behind my back. You know, reverse psychology doesn't work on God either. Just in case you're wondering. If you're new here, reverse psychology doesn't work on God. If you've been around here for a while and you're going, one of these times it's going to work, it doesn't work. Scripture backs that up. This isn't me just telling you this. Jeremiah 17:10 says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. Sometimes even we don't know the dark places that are in our heart, but God does. And the point of having a relationship with God is getting to that point where God will start to reveal those dark places to us that we didn't even know about. My favorite scripture is Hosea 6:6, because Jesus Christ himself, during the 3 years that he was on his mission, is documented as quoting Hosea 6:6. And for those of you who don't know, it basically says, I don't care about your sacrifices. I don't care about your burnt offerings. What I care about is love. What I want is a relationship with you. And if we're not striving for that in our Christian lives, then we are selling ourselves short, and we're going to fall short in the kind of glory that we can be blessed with in having a relationship with God. We need to be seeking him to have a relationship with him, and when we pray, we need to be asking for things in his name. You know, I served a church down in Clarkston, Washington, and it did not go well. We were the pastor family who came in after a pastor who had been there for 13 years suddenly died of a heart attack. Any of you who know about ministry know that we were just the sacrificial lamb, and it was a rough time. And so when we went home, man, I was struggling. My wife found work. I couldn't find work. I thought maybe God was done with me in ministry, but he apparently wasn't. But I couldn't find work in anything. And so we were back in Boise, and I was starting to get really, really desperate. I was feeling completely abandoned and alone, and I said a prayer, or I said something to my wife. You know, I said, I've just got to seek him and ask him to reveal it to me. And so that night I said a prayer. I said, God, I don't know what it looks like, and I'm not going to put any kind of restrictions on you. It doesn't have to be a ministry. It doesn't have to be a job. It doesn't have to be anything specific. I just need to wake up tomorrow and know that you are here, and that I still matter to you, and that I'm still important. And when I woke up the next morning, I was getting ready to go to our church staff meeting because I was the lay pastor there. And I said to my wife, I said, I feel a little bit better today. I feel like there's a little bit of hope. I don't know why, but I do. I go to the staff meeting. Staff meeting started at 8:30. 9:30, I see my phone ring, and it's Jonathan Wiggins, who, for us down there, the Rocky Mountain District, he's our conference superintendent. Now, I wasn't going, I wasn't preaching or working with Alliance Churches. I had talked with Jonathan Wiggins before. Matter of fact, he had come to our house and asked me what my ideal ministry was. And I said, man, if I could be working in a ministry and continuing to grow and learn and develop and live in the mountains and live on a lake somewhere, that would just be great, you know? Thinking that'll never happen. And as I'm saying that, I'm seeing this grin get on his face. So here I am, desperate, feeling like I'm abandoned. But I had said a prayer and I trusted that God was going to answer that prayer. I see that phone call and it's Jonathan Wiggins. Now, we had interviewed for this position 2 years ago, and so he had been talking to me. I thought maybe he was going to send me out to Montana or just check in, and I answered the phone. I said, hey, what's going on, Jonathan? And he asked me about what's going on, and I tell him, and he says, well, do you remember Dickey Lake Bible Camp? I said, well, yeah, heck yeah, I remember Dickey Lake Bible Camp. I thought maybe he was going to ask me to come up and be a janitor. And he goes, well, they're looking for a new executive director. And This is less than 10 hours after saying a prayer to God to just let me know he's still here. He not only answered the call to let me know he was still here, but he provided us my dream opportunity in ministry. Which is funny, because when I first answered the call to ministry, what I said to God was, I don't want to work in recovery ministry, and I don't want to work with kids. So is this an unanswered prayer, or is this a prayer saying, God saying, I know better? Because the first ministry that we worked in was a recovery ministry that I started called Breaking Barriers. And now here I am working with kids and families, and I absolutely love it. And God put me in my ideal setting. So don't be afraid to ask for things. 2 Corinthians 12. Verses 8 through 9 says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Now, we remember, I'm going to set this up. Paul was struggling with something. He said he had a thorn in his flesh. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of debate who debate what that is and what that is, and has never really been revealed to anybody. But he went to the Lord three times and he prayed for the Lord to take it away. And each time the Lord said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. So right there I was at my absolute weakest moment, man. I mean, it was tough. It was tough. We had some scary discussions. It was just really, really tough. But at my weakest moment, I came to God and I asked him, and his grace was sufficient for me. I couldn't figure it out on my own anymore. I'd been trying and trying to figure it out, and it wasn't going my way. But I asked for God to reveal it to me in a way that worked for him. And here I am. And it's absolutely amazing. I'm going to finish with this piece of scripture here, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. This is one you may be familiar with. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? For those of us who, I don't think I really comprehended the kind of relationship that I have with my Father in heaven until I got to become a father. You know, when we have kids, we know that they ask for things that sometimes aren't good for them, right? How many parents here have kids who ask for candy constantly? Daddy, can I have a candy? Daddy, I want candy. Daddy, can we have candy? Daddy, when can we have candy? Daddy, can we have candy? Daddy, when can we have candy? Daddy, are we going to go get candy? Daddy, can we have candy? Daddy, can we... Don't you just get to a point where you're like, shut up! Stop! Is it that we don't want to give them candy? Or is it just that we want them to be patient and wait and trust us that we want to maybe give them candy? Sometimes, well, candy's not one of those things that's really good for them, obviously, but, you know, that's part of being a kid. Hopefully, you're not going to deny your kid. If you are, hey, I'm not questioning. Anyway, you know, sometimes our kids ask us for things that aren't really good for them at all. Dad, can I have a 450 dirt bike? you're nine. No. You know, and sometimes it's up to us to explain it to them. We don't get God most of the time coming and explaining to us in our ears why things work out the way that they do. But you know what we do have? Scripture, which tells us that God loves us and that he keeps his promises. And I love that. I love that God keeps his promises. And for those of you who are parents, it's very, very important to keep your promises to your kids. Don't make a promise if you can't keep it. Because our kids look to us the way that we look to our Heavenly Father. And so they need to know that when we say something, that it is rock solid. I know that God answers prayers because I've not only seen it in my life, but I've seen it in the lives of my children, and I've seen it in the lives of others who I know love God and ask for things in his name. It doesn't always go the way we want it. But that doesn't mean his heart doesn't ache when our hearts ache. Even Jesus, the night before all of this stuff began, went to the garden and was aching with fear and anxiety because he was man just like us in this respect. And he went to God and he said, Father, if it be your will, please remove me from this cup of suffering from me. But he knew that God knew best. I'm sure none of us would want to go through what Jesus had to go through. And I pray that none of us do. But I want you to know that no matter what happens in your life, if you are asking for God's will to be done in your life, he will answer that prayer. And it may not always be pretty. Scripture tells us that Jesus didn't come to make life a bed of roses for us. He came so that we could share in his suffering. James 1 tells us that if we endure to the end, that we will be rewarded for that. So I pray that you guys will be praying for things in God's name, be seeking out things that will glorify the Lord. Because ultimately, we're all going to be gone. And praying that we go to live with him. But he will last forever. He is eternal. His word is eternal. His will is eternal. That's the things that we need to be seeking in our lives. Because I guarantee you that if you're seeking for things that will glorify him, you're going to get some pretty awesome stuff in your life. And it may not be a Lamborghini or winning the lottery or being 15 feet tall and skinny. But it will be something that goes beyond what you could even imagine. I want to thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to come up here, and I pray that we get to see some of you guys down at Dickey Lake this summer. We're not a big, expensive, you know, camp. You know, I know camps that don't even start to break ground unless they got $30 million. That ain't us. We are a humble camp of the Lord. So when you come down, it's not so that we can make a buck. When you come down, it's because we want to bless you. We want to bless you with God's creation. We want to bless you with God's word. And we hope that you walk away enriched and changed and different than you were when you got there. And so we would hope to see you guys at camp this summer. I hope to be able to come up here. You guys have been wonderful. I've been so excited about coming up here. It starts with your pastor, folks. And I think if you guys have been coming here to church for a while, you know what a great man you have, what a great shepherd you have in Pastor Trevor. And just getting on the phone with him made me get so excited about coming here. And that excitement has just continued even since we've gotten here. You guys are all wonderful. And I want to thank you guys for the opportunity. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you just so grateful that you